Hey, it's good to be with you. I'm excited about this afternoon. I'm excited about our trunk or treat. I know our teens are excited about their annual costume party at the Tuckers, and my daughter and wife are visiting Harding this weekend. She is super disappointed that she's not going to be here for all the trunk or treat, hoping to make it back in time for part of the costume party. But it's a big time of year for the Forest Mill family to have upward gearing up and to have all these things as we lead into sort of the holiday season on our calendar. I wanted to give you just a little bit of information. Russ brought up the Daily Bread ministry that's going on. It's actually put on by Unity Hospital. The hospital will buy the food, will prepare the food, but they need volunteers to get that food out to people. They do one meal a day every weekday. They have three routes that go through the county and get it to everyone who is medically unable to cook themselves a meal. It's a tremendous ministry, and all it takes, what they're asking for, is for us to volunteer a couple of days a month, maybe put a crew together. And the crew would be one person would show up at like 10 o'clock in the morning at Unity's cafeteria. All they've got to do is sort the food. Here comes the food. Let's put it in the boxes and sort it out. That takes about 45 minutes. Your volunteer time is done. If you'd like to be a part of the delivery crew where you go and you meet the people you're delivering to, again, not a heavy load. We go at 11 o'clock. They'll load you up with the food, give you the addresses. And hopefully in a team. They ask that people go in teams. Although they have done it by themselves, they say it's just better. Makes you feel a little safer and a little more comfortable, a little more confident to have someone going with you. And so hopefully teams of two will go out and they'll run one of these three routes. And depending on how long you want to stay and talk to the people you're delivering food to, for some of them this will be the only human interaction they get that day. So if you can do, just talk to them for a few minutes, find out how they're doing and what's going on. The route lasts 11 to around 1 o'clock or so. So a couple of hours, a couple of days a month. If you could do that, just come and talk to me. I'll let Amanda Fuller know that she said that they do thorough training so that you know exactly what you're supposed to do and when you're supposed to do it and how you're supposed to do it. And so you don't have to figure things out for yourself. They'll explain everything in detail. So that we can be a part of this daily bread ministry. It's not affiliated with any particular church. It's a part of Unity Hospital's 501c3 status in their ability to care for the community. So if you would like to do that, come see me. I think it's a really great thing. What do you think it is that people wish for? Like, you can wish for anything. I mean, what is it we really want? I want you to imagine for just a moment this morning as we're getting started that you are granted one wish and it is guaranteed to come true. I don't care if you're imagining it comes from a genie or a leprechaun or hopefully not a deal with the devil, but you get one wish that is guaranteed to come true and that it's going to be fulfilled beyond your wildest dreams. What would you wish for? What do you want? Maybe you'd wish for money. You like big money, like lottery money, like Amazon owner money. Enough money that you'd never have to worry about anything financial for the rest of your life, and neither would your children, and neither would your grandchildren. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome to never have a financial worry for the rest of your life? That would just be great. Or maybe you'd wish for health, great health, like physical, mental, emotional, just having it all together, all that well-being, having no more sickness, no aches and pains, no doctor visits, no surgeries, no medications, just be completely physically, mentally, and emotionally healthy for the rest of your life. How would that be? Or maybe you'd wish for something else. Maybe you're more of a sentimentalist, and like the Beatles, all you need is love. And so you'd wish for just love, not just romantic love, which would be great, but family love, friendship, love, to know every moment of every day that beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are fully seen, fully accepted, fully appreciated. I mean, that'd be just amazing, wouldn't it? Maybe there's other things you might wish for. Success in your work, whatever your work is, or self-improvement. Maybe you'd like to get stronger or healthier or lose weight or make some life decisions differently. For many people in the world, if they could wish for anything, they'd just wish for the fundamentals. I mean, just safety, security, food, shelter, access to clean water. I mean, that's the wish list for many people in the world. Those who are held captive or those who are in prison, what they might wish for more than anything else, they might just wish for some freedom, right? And all of those wishes, even if that's not something you're personally wishing for, they're at least things you can understand, right? And some of the things we talked about probably are what you wish for. But here's the thing about that, and something we really need to consider this morning, is that all of the things that we wish for, every single thing on that list, everything we wish for can be accompanied by a curse. Everything we wish for can be accompanied by a curse. The world is filled with people who get exactly what they wish for only to become absolutely miserable. Absolutely miserable. People who get the job they've always been hoping for. They marry the person that they've always loved. They have the children they've been dreaming about. They bought the house. They built the bank account. They drive the car. They graduate from the school. They get everything they've been wishing for, and they're absolutely miserable. People who get exactly what they want, and they discover it's not what they want at all. Because as it turns out, there is a vast difference between getting what we want and enjoying what we want. There's a huge chasm between those things. We have it all planned out in our minds that if we get what we want, then we'll automatically enjoy it, right? If I'm struggling financially and I think, oh, you know, if I just had $1 million or $5 million or $100 million or whatever it is I think will satisfy me, I think in my mind that if I get that, I'll be happy, right? I'll be able to do all this stuff, and then I'll be happy. Or if you're sick, you just think, you know, if I could just get healthy, I could get past this thing, then I'd automatically be happy. If you've been longing for kids and you find out you're going to have a baby, you just think everything's going to work out. We have it all planned out in our minds, but that process is not automatically. Getting what we want and enjoying what we want are two different things. You can achieve all of your dreams only to discover it is the stuff made of nightmares. So what is it we really want? I mean, what do we really, really want? As we continue our study through the book of Ecclesiastes, this is the question that the writer of Ecclesiastes sort of grapples with. Now, in the ancient Near Eastern world, if you were to ask them this question, they would have told you three things. There were three things that were considered the markers of success or indications of God's blessings. In the Hebrew culture, if you asked them, what is it you want? You'd want these three things. That would be wealth and children and a long life. Wealth and children and a long life. You want to be highly regarded. You want to be respected. You want to be considered a success in life. Wealth, children, a long life. And so even though it looks like in this chapter 6, Ecclesiastes chapter 6, it looks like just a bunch of random thoughts, he's dealing with those three things, those three distinct markers of success or happiness or getting the best life. And so the writer, and his name's Koheleth, we'll just call him the preacher, that's sort of what it roughly translates it to, he is addressing the life that everyone wants. So yours may be the same three things, you know, wealth and children and a long life, but likely we have some other things on our list as well. And this is what he says. Look at the first three verses. He says, I've seen an evil under the sun, and it weighs heavily on mankind. God gives some people wealth, possessions, and honor so that they lack nothing their heart desires. But God does not grant them the ability to enjoy them. And strangers enjoy them instead. This is meaningless, a grievous evil. A man may have 100 children and live many years. Yet no matter how long he lives, if he cannot enjoy his prosperity and does not receive a proper burial, that is, he's not respected and loved, right? I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. And skipping down to verse 7, we find this phrase that sort of ties all of this theme together. And he says, everyone's toil is for their mouth, yet their appetite is never satisfied. Everyone's toil is for their mouth, yet their appetite is not satisfied. Literally translated, if you go into the Hebrew, it's not their appetite, it's their soul. Their soul is not satisfied. And I love the way, if you've ever read Eugene Peterson's The Message, it's sort of a paraphrase of Scripture in order to put it into modern language. And he puts it this way. He says, we work to feed our appetites, meanwhile our souls go hungry. We work to feed our appetites, meanwhile our souls go hungry. We have these markers of success that we think will satisfy us. You know, wealth, children, long life, or fame, health, jobs, retirement, cars, clothes, gourmet meals, or weight loss, or whatever it is we think are going to make us happy. And yet we find out eventually when we get those things that we're not satisfied. Have you ever had one of those days? Maybe it's just me. But maybe you can identify with this. It happens like in the afternoons, or sometimes it'll happen like in the evenings after a meal, and you're sitting and you're watching TV, or you're relaxing and reading a book, something along those lines, and then you start thinking to yourself, well, you know, I could really go for a snack. Do we have any snackers here? You liars, you bunch of liars. I know I'm big, but I ain't the only one, all right? I like to snack. And so you think, oh, man, I could really go there. So you go into the kitchen or the pantry or the refrigerator or the freezer, wherever it is you keep your snacks. You start looking around, you spot something, you think, that's it. That's what I want. You may not have known when you first decided to snack, but you see it and you're like, okay, that's what I want. So you go back, and you sit down, you pour a bowl, you grab a handful or whatever it is you do, and then you eat it. And then at some point, maybe after you finish it or maybe when you're halfway through, or maybe after just one bite, you realize this wasn't what I wanted. Has that ever happened to you? Raise your hands and be honest. Yes. Like you get what you think you want, and then you get some, and you're like, no, that's not what I wanted. Isn't that just like life? And the preacher, Koheleth here, he sounds almost like accusatory towards God. He's accusing God about that. He's like, here's God. God gives people what they've been longing for, riches and wealth and honor, but then he doesn't give them, he fails to give them the power to enjoy them. He gives them exactly what they want, and he keeps them from enjoying it. That's what he says. He's like, you know, wealth is a blessing, and God can keep you, give it to you and keep you from enjoying it. We all know that children are a blessing from the Lord, right? Children are a heritage from the Lord. We go into Proverbs, and yeah, you could have 100 children, he says, but that's not going to automatically bring you the satisfaction to your soul, the contentment that you're looking for. The gift of family is a tremendous blessing in our lives, but if we're not careful, our families can become a downfall. They can separate us from a relationship with God. Or long life. I mean, God expressly says in Deuteronomy, when he's talking about the blessings, he's like, here's the commandments. You keep these commandments and I'll give you a long life, right? So long life is a blessing from the Lord. God expressly says that. And yet, even a long life does not ensure happiness. And here the preacher, he uses, if you go through chapter 6, a couple of extreme examples. He's like, at one extreme, you got somebody living 2,000 years, right? Twice as long as Methuselah. Just somebody lives 2,000 years long on one end, and the other is a stillborn baby on the other end. The extreme ends of life, right? And yet he says there's no difference between them. because both suffer the same fate. We all die. There is no inherent advantage in living a long life if that life is not lived for the Lord. Now, we live in a world that gives like a great deal of effort and resources to try and extend our lives. So some of us may exercise, or we try to eat healthy food. Some people take, you know, vitamins or supplements, and we develop new drugs and new medical treatments, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But the problem is that just extending life doesn't make us satisfied and content. So it's no wonder, like, if you're not a Christian, or if you're struggling in your faith, and you come along and you read this passage, like you read Ecclesiastes right here, you'd be just thinking, gosh, how depressing is this? I mean, this guy's saying all the stuff that I want, he got it, and it's meaningless. So what do we do? I mean, what's the answer to this conundrum? And at the end of the chapter, he says this, verses 10 through 12, he says, whatever exists has already been named, and what humanity is has been known. No one can contend with someone who is stronger. Who's someone who's stronger? He's thinking about God, right? He says, the more the words, the less the meaning. And how does that profit anyone? For who knows what is good for a person in life? Who's he? Again, who does? Let's just answer that question real quick. Who knows what is good for a person in life, people? God. That's right. Who knows what is good for a person in life during the few and meaningless days they pass through like a shadow? Who can tell them what will happen under the sun after they're gone? Well, let's answer that one too. Who can tell us what will happen after we're gone? God. That's it, right? Not long-lived people, not healthy people, not people with a lot of kids, not people with a lot of money. Who is really in control? And he says God is really in control. So here's the problem. We read back in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God put eternity in our hearts. Now, we think about that, and we're like, oh, that's so inspirational. I've got eternity in my heart. But what he's really saying is, you've got this huge thing inside of you. It's eternity. I mean, right? It's not the size of Coffee County or Manchester or the state of Tennessee or the United States or even the universe. Like, you've got this eternity there. It's so big, and it's set in your heart, so no matter what you get, no matter how much you get, you can put it in there and put it in there and put it in there, and it's never going to be full. You can answer all your appetites, and you're still going to be empty. You've got eternity in your heart. You've got something bigger than you can even grasp in your heart. So here we are with all these appetites, totally natural for us to want to be loved, for us to want to be healthy, for us to want to have our financial needs met, for us to want to achieve success in this life, right? Totally natural to do that. And yet, here we are, and we get all these appetites going, and we're not satisfied. And in fact, rather than being satisfied, when we get all these appetites answered, what happens is our appetite just gets bigger. Like, we don't get full, we just get hungrier. George Bernard Shaw actually said there are two great tragedies in life. One is not getting your heart's desire, and the other is to get it. So if our appetites cannot be filled, and if they cannot bring joy, what are we supposed to do? And the answer, according to Ecclesiastes, is to allow God to change what we want. Our appetites cannot be filled, and they cannot bring joy, so we have to allow God to change what we want. We're probably all familiar with the passage from Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, some people read that, and they interpret this way. They say, okay, if I delight myself in God, if I just love God, then God will give me all the money I want. Or if I just love God, he'll give me all the great relationships I want. If I just love God, he'll give me all these other things I want. But I don't think that's consistent with the rest of the story of Scripture. I don't think that's what the psalmist is saying. I think instead what he's saying is, if you love God, if you delight yourself in God, God will change what you want to make it what he wants. I thought when I got married that there were certain things I wanted. It turns out I was wrong. Because I loved someone who did not want those things, and it changed what I wanted. It turns out Sometimes she's right. She's not here today. If you repeat this, I'll tell them you're a liar. But it turns out she knew what I really wanted better than I knew what I wanted. We had kids, and I thought I knew what kind of dad I wanted to be, and I was going to lay down the law, and I was going to be this kind of dad, and then my kids were going to turn out this way, and it turns out I didn't know what I wanted. And she helped me change what I want to be a better dad, to be a better husband, to be a better preacher, to be a better friend, to be a better person, right? That's what God does. If we delight in God, He will put the desires He wants in our hearts. When we pursue God, instead of pursuing all these other things, instead of pursuing wealth or children or a long life, God will put into our hearts the desire that will allow us to be satisfied. In other words, He's going to change our appetites to something He can fulfill and will fulfill and will be satisfied. He will keep us from pursuing the kind of desires that will never be fulfilled, the kind that just lead to being hungrier. Maybe you've done that too, where you get a bite of something you want and you're like, oh, well, that's not enough. I better go back and get more. And it feels like no matter what, years ago, in fact, it was right when Rebecca and I were kind of first starting to date, and I got sick. I had to be put on some kind of high-dose steroids, as you can tell from the bulk. And so I was on these kind of high-dose steroids, and some of the effects of these steroids were that it made me hungry. And, buddy, I'm not just talking hungry. I mean, I could eat. I could eat. I could sit down to a meal and eat a meal, and I'm like, oh, that was good. And then 30 minutes later, I am hungry again. I go and I start rummaging around the kitchen trying to find something. And I did that, I mean, for like weeks. I felt like I could never get full. Maybe some of you have had that same experience. It's a pretty bad experience, especially when you're trying to fit into clothes and things like that. But the thing is, really all of life can be described in that sort of feeling that no matter what we get, we're not full if we're longing for the wrong things. And in order for us to desire the right things, it's not a matter of willpower, it's not a matter of knowledge, it's not a matter of just being good or smart enough or being in the right church building or being married to the right person. It's not a matter of any of those things. It's about getting our lives in line with God's desires. It's about going to God and saying, God, I don't even know what I want. You tell me what I want, and that's what I'm going to want. And God finally brings us satisfaction. If you are tired of not finding joy in all the things you love, maybe it's time to try loving something different, something better, something fulfilling. And if we can pray for you, encourage you, lift you up this morning for strength, for forgiveness, or if you're ready to become a child of God, a God who satisfies, who brings us into a fulfilling relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, who brings us redemption from the past that's been dragging us down and brings meaning to a life that can otherwise feel, as the Ecclesiastes writer said, pretty meaningless. If we can help you with any of that, won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?